Welcome to the next episode of Fujoshi NYC, right here. It's been a week since we did, over a week since we did our last podcast. But still, we were able to pull out, have a replacement episode for last week.
Hi. Maybe we just schedule it a different time.
Yeah. But so far, Monday has been all right. It's just been work. Work takes up a lot of my, like, you know, weeknights. So it's not even if it wasn't Monday, all my other nights have been, like, pretty much. But let's just go right into it. We're going to start with stuff that we've been watching lately. May, you've been sharing. You have a lot of stuff that you've been watching. First episodes of things.
Well, I watched the first episode of Moldai.
Yeah, Moldai Zushi.
Yeah. What's his name? Wei seems cool because it's like he knew all this stuff, just couldn't show that he knew it.
You only saw the first episode. So it first takes Moldai Zushi, like, opens up in the present, not present day obviously, but after, in the present day for the series itself. Yeah. And then you haven't seen the second episode, which goes back a 10 years ago. So at that point in time, yes, he already is an accomplished cultivator, someone who does magic. Someone who's able to, like, you know, exorcise demons.
I like how he's pretending to be incompetent, and then Louisa was like, I don't think he was pretending.
Times. Well, not to mention the person whose body he basically reincarnated in. I don't know. It's not even reincarnation. I feel like it's a possession, because he basically took over somebody's body, and the person who took over seems to be, like, the village idiot. Like, no one takes him seriously. He's, like, half crazy. And Wei Wuxian, the uke, he just, like, plays off to that. He just tends to be an idiot, afraid of everything, even though he's actually, like, you know, maneuvering things around. How do you like it so far?
It was a good first episode. It's pretty, and the part where he got the things to attack other things look really cool.
Yeah. I'm really happy with the way the anime, like, animation for it, because it's, like, one of the most beautiful, like, Chinese animation I've ever seen. It's not, like, there's no plagiarism there. They did such wonderful, like, fluid animation. And it's, like, but it's also super gory. That's one of the things I was, like, kind of, like, queasy about. But because of the driving story, because, you know, the background of BL that's in it, I was like, okay, I'm going to have to trudge through this.
Yeah. Well, he shoved that other guy onto the other guy, and then they were like, oh, this coat incantation can be useful. I was saying, why didn't they know that?
Well, he is the one of the best cultivators. No one else knows about it yet.
And I watched the first episode. Magical girl, Ore.
So, can you tell us about Magical Girl Ore?
It's a girl, and a cute mascot makes a contract with her, and to save the guy she likes, she becomes a magical girl.
Okay.
A magical girl takes the form of a really buff guy.
I remember seeing the visual art for this, and so it's like his outfit is, like, super tight around him. You can see all his muscles. You were talking about a guy that she likes earlier.
Yeah. I only watched the first episode, but I read a little bit about it. Apparently this guy that she likes her magical guy form, magical girl guy form, whatever.
So it's, like, practically BL, except that.
And then her friend, who will later transform, also likes her guy form.
And she will transform into a buff guy.
Her friend is the sister of the guy that.
Oh.
They're an idol unit together.
Oh, there's idols in here.
She and the main character and her friend are an idol duo.
The girl part or the guy part?
The girl. Well, the guy that she likes is a really popular.
Oh, so in quote-unquote real life, the girls are actually an idol unit.
Really unpopular idol unit.
A really unpopular one. So from whatever's happened to them, they are becoming Maho Shonen, really buff Maho Shonen.
And the guy's the enemy.
Oh. Are they really cute girls or really cute guys then?
They're really buff squirrels?
Did you say squirrels? As in things with poofy tails?
Yeah.
Okay.
They were carrying the guy off into the other dimension. So the cute mascot, he looks like a gangster. It's like, if you want to save him, you gotta transform.
This is starting to turn into Beanon or something like that. Except
they are
really
the Beanon guys look way more like magical girls than.
Yes, the Beanon guys. Yeah. Yeah, because I saw the character designs and I'm like, these are like weightlifters.
So if they give the guy powers, is he gonna transform into a delicate girl?
Ooh. Maybe. Who's gonna fall in love with his alter ego? But if he falls in love with him, does that mean the guy that she has a crush on is okay? Because
I saw this on Tumblr. It's apparently her mother used to be a magical girl. So they have a scene from like kind of I think maybe how she revealed herself to like the main character. Father or something when they were in school. He's like, yes, in that magical guy form, and she's like, yes, I am so and so from class so and so. You can fall in love with me now.
Oh,
so
no.
Somebody wrote, I forgot her name. Her father was Uke.
Oh my god. Okay, so her mom also transforms into a magical boy. Really buff magical boy.
Yeah, but she's older now and her back hurts, so she can't do the job anymore.
Oh dear. I wonder what happens if he transforms into a magical old man. Okay, well, look good, man. Never mind. Don't want to see this. Fan disservice. Cancel. So, we watch the next episode, Dakaichi. And the main plot is also on hold. It has started, but is also on hold. Because we kind of went backwards again.
Oh yeah, now we see Saijo's side.
Yes. And it's not just like Saijo's side from like, you know, the time he met Azumaya. Because we already have that. That was the start of the series. We have from
the series is from his point of view.
Yeah, exactly. So Azumaya's was like that rare turnaround. But this time we got it from, we got a little flashback for a dream basically. Like Saijo was dreaming about, a voice that he heard.
Well,
because
that wasn't a dream. It happened. He just
He was recalling it, and he wasn't sure whether it was a dream or not because he was in a feverish fit at that time. So basically, like the trigger of the flashback was when he remembered the voice, someone saying like, you know. I can't exactly quote it very well, but basically, I will still love you. You know, that's basically what was the heart of the quote. Yeah. So we got to see, like, and then we got back to the point where when he first met Azumaya at, during the first, like, you know, series that they did together with Azumaya as the co-star. Yeah. And basically, Saijo was sizing him up. It was like using his electronic, like, analyzing his every bit of his face.
Yeah, I forgot. He determined him to be a threat or something?
Yeah, pretty much. It's like, you're too bright here. You're a threat. But it's just so funny because aside from Azumaya's face, he focused on his collarbone a lot. It was like, he scanned down. I was like, are you going to scan even lower? He's like, no, it follows in on his collarbone. I was like, oh my god. Because obviously he has a really sexy collarbone, a sexy neck. And then I love it that it jumps to the time where Azumaya and Saijo were doing that scene for the movie, which is like, you know, afterwards, like later on in the present day, basically, when they were doing the Doctor movie together. And Azumaya basically saves him from the malfunction, the water, the rain, where you got that beast eyes from Azumaya, and Saijo felt like he was going to get eaten. So he felt that. Yeah. That was so cool. And he's like, goes running to his trailer And like Sasaki's like, I need to defend myself as an actor and as a man. I was like, do you think about your masculinity, your virginity? Not your virginity. I don't even know if it's a virgin. But yeah, your virginity, basically.
Oh, that was when he called and said, accept all the jobs, right?
Yeah, that's when he called his manager. Because as I said, he was deadly threatened. He felt that his acting career and his manhood was getting threatened. So somehow he felt it on two different levels. So he's like, accept all the jobs. I'm going to be tired, but I can handle this. And then like somehow his manhood got threatened because like he had the feeling like Azuma is going to eat him. And shortly after that, he did. That scene was so sexy. I really liked that one. Yeah, but as I said, like they played around with the timelines because as I said, he's doing the flashback, but it doesn't remain in the past. Because at the same time, we see their show, Butai, was like continuing. Like, you know, you actually see the Ogress show.
Some lovey-dovey stuff.
Yeah, I know, it was. We got to see, like, you know, the premiere of that, which is, like, really, I love stage shows. And, like, you know, what is it, historical? Well, not really historical, because there's, like, ogres and demons in this one. But, you know, those kind of things, like, Hakuoki-style stage shows. It looks like a really good, like, you know, cinematics. I love that they showed, like, some of the stuff that they did.
Well, I just meant you see the present day and them being lovey-dovey stuff.
You're in the time where he took the wine home and then Azumaya pushes him onto the bed. Yeah.
He carried him with the wine.
He was like, and the time where he was like, at the end of the, yeah, at the with the wine. And at the end, like, basically Sasaki's like, oh, Azumaya is like, called Sasaki-san. The manager up and is like, oh, I'm gonna go pick him up. I'm like, okay. And then Saijo at that time was actually questioning Sasaki. He's like, is the person who picked me up so-and-so? He didn't say the name. He was like, I want to ask you about the person. Okay? Which basically thing he didn't even bother asking after the...
I think Azumaya said not to tell him.
Yeah, pretty much. And Sasaki's like, oh, you want to know now? Hint, hint.
Saisho's like, never mind.
Yeah, pretty much. I think I know this. They'll not say anything. Yeah, but I think it's safe to let for Saisho to know. Like, he knows already. Yeah, but in the past, like, because Azumaya, like, at that time, was afraid that Saisho just hated him. Because he did say that was part of what the line, which was like, it's like, even if you hate me, can I love you, you know? Which is really sweet. Yeah. Kind of possessive, but really sweet still. For this series, like, you know, for this couple, I, like, totally accept it. And Sasaki's like, sure, Azumaya, just go and kidnap him. It's okay, you can pick him up. Saijo's around it, like, to like, yell at his manager. So they haven't moved in together yet. You read the manga for this.
I skimmed it because I want to know what happened.
So we're surmising, like, you're deducing that it's probably going to end with them sleeping, like, not sleeping, they're already sleeping together, like, moving in together.
It starts with them sleeping together.
It starts with them sleeping together. We already got this over with.
That's how BL works.
Yeah, exactly. BL starts out with you kiss them first, and then you sleep with them, and then we have the confession. This is how romances work. Like Fujo Shirumi. They're everything we know about romances from BL. You have a lot of touching, harassment, you know, lock them up, stick a film up their butt. It's all part of the romance. It's like so much of BL is practically borderline sexual harassment. Which is not gonna fly in real life.
I mean, some of it isn't borderline, some of it just is.
It is sexual harassment. Our poor Ukes. But since it's BL, it's okay. Everything is okay in BL. Oh, back to the Buddha, Butai, the play. I really like their outfits for that one. It's really sad. As I said, like, I can't even contemplate. Well, I could do Saicho's, like, a Butai outfit, his Ogress outfit. It's just so sad that Azumaya doesn't have an outfit for that.
Saicho is like, he's a better actor because of Azumaya.
I feel like Ayagi is the same thing. He has, like, something he wants to fight for. So he becomes better. But that's also, but back to Azumaya, what you said is true.
With Azumaya, it's because he loves him so much that he feels like he can do better.
Yeah. One of the things I also find that Saijo is really awesome is that he knows acting, which is something that, like, you know, that he touches a lot upon in this flashback, because we hear about his aunt, right? His aunt Suzaki.
Oh, I thought it was his grandmother.
His grandmother. Listening. Yeah. I think you're right. I think it's a grandmother.
Who looks up? The subtitle said grandmother. I don't know.
Yeah, it's
maybe they got it wrong.
That's true, because they do Oba. I'll go with the fact that it's grandmother. It's most likely grandmother. Like, I'm remembering it wrong. But in any case, but his grandmother looks a lot like him. They're both really beautiful people. But yeah, like, his grandmother, like, you know, knows, he mentioned it, that, like, teaches him so much about acting. So they have he has a lot of background and knowledge about it. And they actually don't, the series doesn't, like, you know, gloss over that either. Because the stuff that he tells, like, Azumaya.
Such an obnoxious kid. It's like he knows he's perfect.
Yeah, pretty much. It's like, I know I'm beautiful ever since I was born.
All these girls. All the nurses fawned over me.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, you knew this? You knew this how? He is an obnoxious kid. Even when he was younger. Yeah.
Narcissistic, though, that's.
Yes, he is very narcissistic. He's very arrogant. He knows how good he is. But it's not just that. It's not that they didn't just gloss over that. With the stuff that he tells Azumaya and Ayagi, like, when they're in order to, like, you know, get them to, like, act better, these are actually pretty concrete lines. They're believable lines, like you would tell a senpai actor to a kohai. Like, you know, you have to be serious about this. You know, you should take it in this kind of way. So, like, you know, for a series that has to do a lot with acting and performance, it's actually, they did a really good job with them.
No.
So Saijo's arrogant, but he has a lot of understanding about what's going on. So it's not just funny that he
also expects a lot of other people. So.
Yeah. Which is good. He's trying to bring up stuff that he's in. He wants to bring it to the next level. He doesn't want it to be a flop, even though he's just going to shine throughout the entire thing. So yeah, this is really nice. I like the world that this has been created.
And it created another, like, super sweet, fluffy episode before they
Oh, yeah, before we go back to the actual plot line. Yeah, because at the very end,
they want to determine how much they both like each other before they break everybody's heart.
Pretty much, yeah. Because we're going to have, what, 3 episodes of them breaking hearts?
Probably.
Yeah, because this is what, episode, I don't know, this is episode 9 or episode 8? Oh, this is episode 9. Yeah, this one is episode 9. We have 3 more. Unless they're going to go into 13, so I have 4, but, yes. So, we go back. So, next week, we'll probably go back to the main plot line. Yeah. I thought at first it was going to be this episode, because the title of this episode is like, oh, you two are close.
Yeah, but I think they've been playing with us for the past few weeks.
It's a troll.
Because, yeah, that's that, like, can I keep loving you?
Exactly, yeah. They've really been playing us. Damn. So, I'm expecting next episode to be part of it. If they're going to troll us the next episode, I don't mind. Yeah. But we do get to see another hint of the photographer. He shows up again. Because he showed up again at the last episode, too, when they were coming back from Hawaii.
He's putting the pieces together.
Yeah. Well, the last episode was like, these are just 2 guys. This time is like, I know who you are. I wonder if he got the picture of Saijo grabbing Azumaya's hand. After Azumaya's hand, like, rolling his, like, touching his thigh.
I can tell you what picture he got.
Oh, really? Don't tell me. Oh, wait. But the last picture he took was kind of sweet, because they were, like, smiling at each other, so.
Yeah, that's why I don't think that one would be a big deal.
Yeah, yeah. It's like, these two are friends, quote, unquote.
How did they reveal themselves in Embracing Love? I can't remember. I just know, like, the whole world knows.
Yeah. I don't remember that part either. Because I said, I stopped reading after, like, you know, a certain number of books, and it was all before their big reveal. We should reread that.
I mean, I skimmed through it a few weeks ago. Stuff that I didn't remember. Like the magic baby thing. Like, I wish I didn't remember that.
I don't remember that at all until you told me. I'm like, I don't think I read that part at all. I just read them having sex in like many, many different places. That's it. So next episode, a big reveal. Next, let's talk about Honda-san. Because we did a 2-episode catch-up for Honda-san. They're both very short. One is very funny. The other one is very pragmatic. Still very funny.
The episode 9, when that girl walked in to look for whatever book, I was like, oh, that's me.
That's exactly what I said. You're talking about the last episode, the latest episode. That is totally you. Except you wouldn't go to a bookstore to look for something. You wouldn't go to a bookstore to look for something.
I would go to a bookstore look for. I wouldn't ask anybody.
That is true. It's you without glasses. I like that. It's you have that wig though. Since we started, we'll just talk about that episode first. So the latest episode.
It's totally not because I can't remember what happened in episode 8.
We'll go into it. Don't worry. So this episode is actually just a really long one, rather than like, you know, 2-parter with about 3 short, like, you know, jokes. It's all about missing stories, missing books. Books that go out of print, books that no longer like have to be returned to the publisher.
I didn't know you could return books to the publisher.
Yeah, I didn't realize that. I was like, oh, that's pretty cool.
Does that work with all kinds of stuff? Like, if somebody has a product that they can't sell, they can just return it to the wholesaler?
I really wonder about that. Remember, they mentioned one line I thought was really interesting, is that they can't sell it. They're not going to sell it anymore at this bookstore. So if they send it back to the publisher might send it back to another bookstore.
Yeah, like maybe it's more popular in other areas or something.
Yeah. So if it's like a BL, then if it's like, if this is not selling well here, maybe another place in Japan, Ikebukuro perhaps would like, you know, sell it much easier.
Yeah, like maybe there's a lot of stuff they can sell in New York that they can't sell if they bring it to like the middle of nowhere in...
True. Yeah.
I don't know what states, no, Wyoming. Sorry, Wyoming.
If we're getting Wyoming listeners.
I don't know what's in Wyoming. I don't travel. I don't get out much.
I know. I've been trying to get her out, but still hard. We'll find time. But yeah, like...
Wyoming is probably a great bustling city place.
A bustling countryside.
It is?
Yeah, it's Wyoming. Okay. It's pretty in the middle. It's, as you said, it's in the middle of nowhere.
I'm just choosing a state I've never been to.
I'm sure Wyoming has cities, but it's mostly country. Yeah. But in any case, yeah. One of the things, like, when they popped up, like, Honda-san said something.
If you have any listeners from Wyoming, I'd be very impressed.
But yeah, like, Honda-san said something like, that's why, like, if you go to some stores and you'll get to see, like, stuff that hasn't been released, like, has been out of print, and it'll show up again. I was like, oh, that makes a lot of sense. Because sometimes I would go to Animate and I'll find something, like, which is really weird. Because when I was in Japan, like, I would find like Loveless stuff that should be out of print for years already. At that time, it was still out. Yeah. So I was like, oh, maybe that's what he's referring to.
Well, there's a part where I didn't know bookstores would recommend ebooks. I just thought they would see this as competition and be like, well, don't mention the ebook.
Yeah.
But anyway, I I prefer ebooks because they don't take up physical space, and if you wanted to preserve them, like copy them to different locations. If they're DRM-free, you could keep copying them. If they're not DRM-free, have the patience to screenshot every page, then
...
Because in order to do that for a book, you have to scan every page.
Yeah. So hopefully...
So and then the ebook, even if it's tied to a service, is still better.
Pretty much. Because, yeah, having a digital, like, you know, copy, you're not ruining the book itself. And you get to, like, you know, connect with a lot more people. Hopefully, it's not region locked.
Well, then they don't need shelf space. So I feel like bookstores is a good place to go and interact. Like, it's a nice place to see everything. But I wouldn't ever buy a book from one unless it was like not available as an ebook or came with some special item.
Yeah. That's why, like, for Japan, I felt like it was so slow. Japan changing to a digital age has always been one of the slowest. like, it's only been the last few years that they started to actually, like, you know, not
even if something isn't available as an ebook, I might not buy the physical one. I'd be like, oh, why should I support the publisher that doesn't want to do ebooks?
Yeah, well, that's because we're not living in Japan. Because, like I said, like, Japan right now, having a digital, like, it's
well,
only
it wouldn't matter. I mean, I still wouldn't want to support the publisher, whether
yeah.
or not.
Yeah. It's just that it's as an agent, as a country, they've it's only been the last like 5 or 6 years that they like really been agreeing to it. That's why, like, US, we were at the forerunners of pushing for ebooks, for, like, you know, getting them to actually, like, put out digital copies, because for Japan, like, I think it's also a problem because of stigma. Because scanlations have been, it's been rampant for so often and has hurt the market. They did not see it as a help. They saw it as a hindrance, which is true. So when they saw that digital is a hindrance, they wanted to shut down digital as much as possible. The U.S. had the bright idea that, like, hello, if it's going to be digital anyway, like, we can, like, fight the scanlation market and, like, sell it as a book,
yeah,
digitally.
Maybe Kodansha does it. Definitely some companies, they put out chapter by chapter and sell it cheap. And then when they have a whole volume, you can buy the whole volume.
Exactly. So it's like you're right. So I said, Japan only started, like, you know, and I do mean recent as in, like, the five, like, you know, less than 10 years. Like, U.S. has been, like, you know, has been coming it out with it. I think also because, I'm not sure, so don't quote me on this, people, but, like, you know, a lot of comics also, like, you know, we put out comics, like, digitally as well. So, because U.S. has a really strong comic market, and I mean American comics and not just, like, digital. So for Japan, like, looking at it, I think it's only been, like, you know, as I said, much later after the U.S., they decided, like, oh, we can actually start putting out, like, you know, stuff digitally. Chinese is a whole nother issue, and I only know it because I read Chinese comics as well, not as much as Japanese ones. But Chinese market, because of how easy it is to get to people, Chinese actually release their stuff online in a digital medium way, like, really early too. Because once they opened the service, here's manga ebooks.
Well, like, I mean, it's already rampant with piracy.
Exactly. So it's for them, it's just so natural.
Just join in.
Exactly. You're totally right. Because, like, all the not to mention because there's so much fan artists also, and a lot of, like, self, like, publish. So they would just be like, okay, I'll just promote myself. That's why I feel like that's why a lot of the stuff that's been released, like Maodai, Zushi, the stuff, Spirit Pack, these were all done online first. They were all done through I was going to do Weibo, but I'm not even sure. I forgot what was the manga service that they released, but they have their own manga apps for it. So it's on those manga apps. So it's like they already, like, you know, regular publishers, they're like saying, we're going to publish this online first. So that's why Japan is at the end. We're like, oh, digital is bad. It's totally bad. It's because of piracy. No, it's like it's going to get pirated. So Japan is, like, a much slower, but now they're looking at it much better. Like that, because, like, Japan is such and it's not just the people that are pushing the stuff out, it's because majority of people who own the comic market, all the manga markets, are old, really old people, so they want to continue doing things the old way, never changing. So that's why, like, Japan, like, changing up to DVD to BDs was much slower. Getting, like, digital stuff, or, like, getting, like, digital licenses and everything, like, okay, agreeing to, like, we're going to release this digitally now, very slow. So it's just, like, the entire, like, they're not even thinking about whether, like, the good parts of the digital. They're just, like, it's like, oh, this is completely new. We are very old people. This is something we haven't done in a very, like, we never did this before. So it's just slower for them. So you're right. It has to take a lot of time, like, for them to realize the good parts about digital. And yeah, if we stop, like, you know, like, if we tell them more about, like, you know, the good parts about it, if they see, like, you know, how the U.S. is doing and everything, they're going to do more of it.
And we, like, things don't have to go out of print, and you don't have to be, like, what's better, for you to at least have an ebook or to just never read it?
Yeah, pretty much. So it's just, we're gonna try to convince the higher ups in Japan to change. So it's so hard to do. Yeah, and it's also, we have to, like, look at the creators. It took Yamane Yano a very long time to agree to digital, and we're happy that she did, because, yeah, she went through a lot of, and now everything is digital, so we're happy for her. So it's gonna take some time. But yes.
Ebook.
I'm still surprised Honda-san recommended an ebook.
At a bookstore too. Yeah. Well, I'm really glad he did that because yeah, it shows like they're
people find the content that they want.
Yeah, pretty much. Like a lot of the manga that that I have, some of the stuff that I it was hard for me to find the physical copies for like until June like did the reprint for 7 days. Like the only way to get 7 days was digital. Because that was the only thing it was.
Did I give that to you?
I don't remember if you own it, but you didn't give it to me. Because what happened was, June did that reprint thingy last year, I think. Last year or 2 years ago, I forgot. They did that reprint, meaning that we're going to be releasing all these things. You can choose whatever you want. Like, you know, what you want to get. And so I just went ahead and I chose 7 days. Yeah.
Yeah.
Chose 7 days and a whole bunch of other stuff. I'm like, yes, this is all the stuff that I have not gotten yet. Now I'm gonna get all of it. So yeah, it's good. I'm still a huge like analog. I still like physical books, not just like the digital.
Need a lot of money for all that shelf space.
We do. That's also a problem, which is why I'm surprised Japan is still like so big on paper, because their turnaround for their manga is really big. Because like you know that's why there is so much. There's so much used bookstores, used stuff, like in Japan, because their merchandise turnaround is really a lot. Every month, there's always going to be new stuff, and so they have like La Shinban, they have Mandarake, they have K Books, they have all this stuff where people just basically take all their crap, like all the stuff that they bought before, bring it there, sell it, and then go out and buy more physical stuff. So, like, not to mention like Japan doesn't have shelf space. So I'm surprised when people actually talk about like, oh, we keep all the monthly, like, you know, those telephone size books, or we keep all the merchandise or the DVDs or something like that, because there's so much like turnaround in Japan. Yes, so Honda-san recommended an ebook. Yeah, but it was good though. We went on a what is it, tangent? But it was a related tangent. Yeah. So. What else happened? Oh yeah, at the end, they were able to get the Yokohama whatever it was back in print.
Yeah.
It was a reprint too, because they said they can't. Yeah, I was wondering about that. Oh, Yokohama Station SF. We don't know anything
about. Like to bleep that part out.
No, because we're not an anime series. We don't need to bleep anything out.
I like how Honda-san was worrying about his own book too.
It'd be funny if he bleeps out his own book. Skullface Honda, beep beep.
Yeah, I still wonder why those shelves are so tightly packed. I'm like, I can't pull anything out.
Oh yeah, before I talk about the previous episode, the time when he was trying to push out that thing in was practically hentai. Did you notice?
I was like, is this supposed to be BL?
Honda X book? No, it's hentai. It is hentai, but yes, it's practically BL. But it sounds like a girl that he's like, doing something to.
Just a really small guy.
With a really high-pitched voice. And then they teared something. Poor book. You have to be gentle with the book.
Condom has torn.
Oh my god. When Borders used to be around, and I would check out the manga section sometimes, like, I would see sometimes they would, like, push the books in, and they would actually bend some of the books because they're trying to, like, put in on the shelf so tightly. And then I would, like, cry for the books because they're already, like, it hasn't even been bought yet, and it's already, like, bent.
Yeah. But I guess it's like, oh, we don't want these books to be sent back.
Damn. But yes, when Honda-san was trying to like stack the shelves and everything, it's funny, they're trying to like Tetris the shelves, and you're showing the size of the books, because I think B5 and A4, whatever those sizes, I guess they're manga sizes.
Yeah, I don't know where to put these new Sailor Moon books.
I know, your Sailor Moon Eternal books are oversized. These are oversized books. That's why. But I love your Billy bookshelf, Mei, because you have like the exact size of what the books are. I found out like the regular DVD sizes.
You can just move the shelf of the book to a different peg.
Yeah, they have like the way Billy bookshelves, like I saw, it's like because not just you, I saw some other people recommend Billy for IKEA for their manga because you can get like really small sizes, like perfect for manga size books. I saw that it was either that one or I can get shelves for DVDs, DVD shelves. But then what I like about Billy is because I can get like two, basically two layers of books. Because regular bookshelves are much deeper. And manga only takes up half the size. So you can have two, which is not convenient, but it's just easier for me to like put books in there.
Well, technically they can do that at bookstores too. They just don't because easier for...
Yeah. For bookstores, you can't do that because people are going to...
I don't want to do it at home either.
I'm okay. Well, I think I'm used to it because all my bookshelves are two layered. But unfortunately,
I feel like that's why I want ebooks, so we don't have this problem.
Yeah, but also the other, as I said, I was going to say, the other shelf that works perfectly are DVD bookshelves. Except DVDs are not going to fit for oversize. That's the main problem. Because DVDs are the same size as manga books. So you can put them exactly like, you know, they have like much, there's a little, still much more space for those regular Japanese size books. But for U.S. books, it's almost perfect.
The Billy bookshelves, you're not going to fit in too deep unless it's a Japanese book. You can use the leftover space and put figures there, but then when you take out a book, the figures fall off.
I think in the future, it'll be fine. Because sometimes I like displaying like certain books, too. So I can put like you know certain books that I want on display. By that time, hopefully I can display all my BL books like that. We'll go shopping to IKEA in the future.
No, because I won't have books. Hopefully they've all become digital.
No. You'll go shopping with me, okay? For my shelf.
Hey, you know what I can put? What can I have on my shelf? More figures.
That's a good idea. I also like dream to have like one of those glass shelves for the figures and for my Gunpla. And hopefully lights.
Amy bought a few, right?
Yeah, she has two. I need one that's bigger than that because...
They make them bigger than that?
There's one that's longer. I think like the width of it is the same. I just need it to be longer. Because the wingspan for Gundam Wing for Perfect is like this big. I'm showing her like 2 feet. 3 feet or something like that. 2 feet, I think.
I wasn't even paying attention.
For the listeners, because May apparently is not paying attention, it's about like 2 feet long for wingspan. It could be longer, though. I have to look it up to see the perfect grade, like, Gundam Wing. Let's not even talk about Seed. Seeds, oh my gosh. When Seed spread out all its, like, you know, what their thrusters are, it's really, really big. Yes, I have PG Gunpla. I never built any of them.
I don't know what any of these things mean.
It's okay. I do. So.
PG means parental guidance.
BTS means behind the scenes.
Yes.
Anyway, for the previous episode for Honda-san, it was mostly about the customers. They talked about different type of customers they got to meet. Honda-san, one of his first interesting customers, is someone who wants to buy books and send it to jail.
Oh, the guy that sounded exactly like Mikoto. Maybe slightly happier.
Happier Mikoto? Koto, Mikoto on candy. Sugar high, Mikoto. Yeah. Is it the same seiyuu? Or just sounds like...
Yeah, Kenjiro.
If Mikoto was part of a gang, which he is, and sounds like he's full of sugar. Yes.
A non-fire gang?
Non-fire gang, and which he's not a leader of. Any case, yeah. So he was that. And there was also... They were talking about the guy who bought like 90 books. Which
I carried them home.
And carried them home. I would not do this. Okay, the most I did...
It's nice of Honda to offer the delivery.
Yeah. Japan actually has a service for mail delivery for a lot of their stuff. They have even if you go to a cake shop, they will deliver your cake. Okay, majority of the time it's not like, you know, a really, really decorated cake. Sometimes it actually is. I don't know how they do this. If you go to Komiket... There is a postal service in Komiket where you can buy all of your doujins and have it shipped to your house.
Otakon? Where did Otakon used to be?
Baltimore.
But what was it called? The convention center.
Baltimore Convention Center.
Oh, so I'm pretty sure that one
had a postal service inside?
Yeah.
That's good.
It's either that or another convention I've been to. Or maybe all of them do.
Yeah, for convention center, I feel like they do. Like, because I think even Jacob Javits, I think, had
maybe
a
it was
business
a,
center.
It was some kind of mailing thing. Either it was FedEx or UPS or something.
Like, I'm curious for the U.S., like, why would they do something like that? Is it for the same reason? It's like, you would go to a trade show, you would buy a lot of stuff. Or is it because, like, people mail stuff to the convention center to so that you would be able to, like, you know, have it sent over there?
Oh.
Yeah, I'm curious about that. Because we do know that, like, dealers send, they mail their stuff to the convention. If they're not driving over there, they would have to, like, mail their stuff over. I can ask one of my friends about this because he's the one that actually came to Otakon from California and had to, like, mail all of his stuff over. So I can ask him about that. But yeah, that's something to think about. But usually for Japan, I know, like, you know, people just, like, go there, buy a lot of stuff, and they actually ship it to their house or something like that, because they would buy boxes and boxes of it. As I said, I don't know how Japan does their thing because they still buy a lot of stuff. We have a lot of consumers. We got a lot of sellers too. You know, people who resell their things. But that's something that happens. But yeah, like, you can go to a cake shop in Japan and just buy something, like, and have it sent to your house or something like that. Yeah. So, bookstores have a shipping service. That's not something I never thought about. I wonder if, like, Animate would, like, I go to Animate and have it shipped to my house. Besides the online store, I mean, like, that's something to think about.
Can you be like, can you ship it to the U.S.?
Exactly. You have an Anime Japan, like, U.S. now, so can they ship this thing?
Does it count as Anime U.S.? Oh, are you talking about actual web? The website didn't it shut down, like, a while ago?
Yeah, they did. But they opened a new one.
Oh.
It was, I'm pretty sure it's a different address or something like that. Yeah. And they started uploading stuff. It's not, but they don't have, like, you know.
They open a new East Coast, maybe the stars shine bright.
Yes, please. We do need more Lolita stores here. We have a huge Lolita population. May is suffering right now.
Oh, well, I don't have a huge wallet, so all I ever bought was that bag. That's probably why they closed down.
So, yes, shipping stuff. Yes, I will not go to a store to buy 90 books of something. I would order it and have it sent to my house.
What's he gonna do? Read 90 books before tomorrow anyway?
Yeah, exactly. Or like, you know, I'll take this one book home and then have to ship the other 89, please. Not to mention, Japan has like a cheaper service if you do, like, you know, we have Media Mail here, which is, like, you know, cheaper if you do books. Like, Japan has the same similar thing. Media Mail. Yeah. So, like, yeah, like, in Japan, I forgot what it's called, but you just tell them these are all books, and they'll be like, okay, sure. That's how, and then they have it for international and like, domestic.
They poke it just to make sure.
Well, for me, it was easier, because I just took all my books to the post office, try to put my less, like, you know, explicit ones on top. I'll be like, I need to ship to the U.S.
Oh, well, I don't want to pay extra. I mean, I don't want to pay them for the packaging.
Oh, well, I had to, because what I was going to do, go buy boxes. Buying boxes for me was kind of annoying. So even though the QQ shop had boxes, so, but it's like, you know, Japan actually has, like, a really nice packaging. So I was just like, I actually lugged all my books over to, like, that. Only for certain ones, like, you know, like what Linda did, which is she went to the post office and bought, like, boxes and everything. So we just, like, sometimes I would just, like, I only did it once, like, I haven't packaged it. And I just, like, here's all my books, send it back. Yeah. I think it was, like, one of the last stuff that I needed to send back to the U.S. Or was it my most recent trip? I think it could be my most recent trip. Just basically, like, I know, I just bought all this stuff anyway, and then I had to go, and I had to, like, send it back to the U.S. Yeah, that's most likely what happened. I wasn't living there. It was after I came back. Yeah, so shipping services. Oh, and they talk about kids. I have the same reaction with kids. Some of them could be really innocent, not the ones I'm dealing with right now. The kid I was talking about in the Honda-san was the one where she wanted a... Oh, it was the guy.
He was short.
Yeah, he was short, like 20 yen or something like that.
Physically short.
Well, the kids was physically short too, but... Mei is referring to his change, his money. It was like 463 and he only had like, oh, I think he was short 50 yen or something like that. I wasn't counting very well. Yeah, 463. I think it was, he was short 50, 60 yen. And his mom came over to pay and the kid was crying. And Hondo was like, oh no.
Well, starting to cry.
Starting to cry.
And Hondo was so relieved that she came.
Yes, exactly. And I'm like, oh no, what do I do? It's like, you're short. Or the little girl that the other one had to deal with. Where it's like, oh, I'm next to the exit. Like, why? Oh, like, why did you go away? Oh no, you're coming back because I was near the exit and not the entrance. She like went all the way around to like walk the line.
Oh, because she wanted to go through the
actual thing instead of just coming in, even though there's nobody in front of her.
And then there was another one where the girl went to look for her mother in the.
Oh yes.
Or something.
Yes, and she's like, I'm thinking it's a daughter.
Once you come in. There's no going back.
Exactly. I think she's talking to a daughter.
Yes.
Yeah, it's like, you know why? Because I never went. And I'm like, yes, that will be me. If I ever have kids, that will be me. I'll be the mommy of like, don't come in. Don't ever come in.
I want to encourage them.
Not at that age. They're really specific about when you start BO. Junior high is okay. Elementary school is a no-no. But they did the same thing with Pretty Cure. It's like, why is everything all sparkly? And, oh, who is that man? There was a comment. It's like, who is that man? I wonder if they're talking about the anime itself or they're talking about the people that's actually in that section. It was in the same part of Honda-san as when they were talking about the BL, because some of the kids wandered over to the Pretty Cure section.
The Pretty Cure section?
Yeah. Or the Maho Shoujo section.
But that was... You mean the picture?
Not the picture. They were saying, like, see? Dreamy transformation.
Yeah, that's the Maho Shoujo Ore. That's why I started watching it, right?
Oh, so that's what they were talking about. Yeah, yeah, you are right. They are talking about it.
I mean, I started watching this because of Honda-san.
Ah, I didn't relate Maho Shoujo Ore to it. I thought it was just because it might be that the person that he saw that's over there would be, what was it? Was a guy. Because in the Pretty Cure fandom, or the Maho Shoujo fandom, has a huge male fan base. I was thinking Peter at that time. So when he says, like, who is that man? I thought it was like, why is there a guy customer surrounded by these, like, shoujo manga? So moving on, we're going to talk about episode 8 of Nozaki-kun. So we watched the next episode of episode 8, which was about Hori Sanpai's and Kashima's view of basically of shoujo manga. Basically, Hori Sanpai had Nozaki's manga in his bag, and Kashima just totally got the wrong idea, which is hilarious because everything, like, Kashima felt that Hori Senpai was into shoujo manga, wants to be the princess, and does everything in her power to encourage his new hobby. But then, unfortunately, you know, Hori Senpai is not into, you know, shoujo manga. He's into backgrounds and he's like studying it. But the stuff that Kashima does, like giving him dresses.
And because, like, the people she keeps asking about this are, like, people involved in the comic, they have these really specific, detailed responses when she asks them stuff.
Exactly. And they're all guys. But unfortunately, or fortunately, they're all related to Nozaki. And they're all related in the as you said, the manga making process. And so, yeah, of course, they're all going to be into the series and totally knowledgeable about it. So Kashima got really confused and be like, I think this is what guys are into nowadays. He wants to be a princess. That makes so much sense.
Yeah, and Hori Senpai, because of her questions, thinks, oh, maybe sometimes she does want to act like a girl.
So yeah, the Hori Senpai got really confused. I love the part where they actually started acting out on the stage. It was so funny. Where, like, Hori Senpai really got into it as the princess, even though he's, like, all smiley, but it was only because he thought, like, oh, Hashima's actually being serious for acting for once. Yeah. The second part of Nozaki-kun actually expands a lot about that. It's about backgrounds, how Nozaki cannot draw backgrounds. And he thinks that everything can be solved by putting them on a box. That is hilarious. So it's not only that he can't draw backgrounds, he's really bad with perspective.
And they were like, oh, well, where are these boxes coming from? He's like, oh, boxes are really popular.
Yeah, Benny. It's like they're everywhere. That will explain the problem of boxes. Yes. No. Would you like to carry around a box?
I would like to roll the box.
You already are rolling a box.
No.
You're Zuka. Oh my god. Want to stand on the Zuka?
Well, no, that I might fall down. It's still on wheels. The box would have to be
detachable.
Yeah, it's like a little hand cart with a box on it. And wait, why do I want to roll a box? Just to be taller?
Yes. Because first perspective. Maybe will kill me later. It's okay. Anyway, everyone is with boxes. No, I just love the fact that Nozaki cannot draw anything unless there's a box. Because his background was really good. It's just his perspective was sucky. And then it was like, yeah. And then Hori-senpai is like, okay, we're going to do this. And then he spent the night at Nozaki-kun's house. Spent the night there. Very tired. Didn't sleep.
I like how, like, even in real life, when he was trying to take the picture so that Nozaki could learn how to do the backgrounds better, he was still like, something's missing. Needs a box. The whole point of taking these pictures so that you could learn how to draw these properly without a box.
Yes. Where did they get the box?
I'm sure boxes are just lying around at schools.
At this point, it's going to be Nozaki Xbox. That's basically it. So moving on.
What a koi.
Yeah, well, I almost finished volume 2. I like, there's this part where they talk about hobbies and Narumi saying like, she knows she can get into cosplay, but if she takes on more hobbies, she'll go broke.
I feel like I relate very much to Narumi's friend.
Oh yeah, I had more money before I got into this goth lobby stuff. But about the hobbies though, I like the part where Narumi, well, because her, what's her name, Koyanagi was saying like, oh, it's so painful for you, why do you continue doing this? Shouldn't be a hobby be something that you like? And then Narumi later is like, oh, well, it's something that I'm passionate about that I want to share with other people, I don't want to compromise.
Oh, that's true. I totally relate to that. And then after that, like, Narumi spent so much time like correcting her draft.
Well, it reminded me of something in Fujoshi Rumi, because the Chiba sister was talking about like people doing doujinshi, and she's like, oh, most of the time people either lose money or they just barely break even, but they don't do it to make money. They just do it for the art.
Yeah, they love the series. They don't want to compromise. She said that she didn't want to compromise the story. Want to make it true to the story. That's so sweet.
That's part of the reason I like these series, because they like get our sentiments. The ones about otaku.
Yeah, that's why when like we talk about Koyanagi and her cosplay love and how she seriously was like looking at the wig and like the colors of the wig and stuff like that, I totally get that, because I have the same kind of issue when I'm like, you know, doing my cosplay. I want to get the right kind of fabric and the right kind of wig. Well, that's all the time we have for today. Thank you so much for listening. We'll see you next time.